The primary election is almost here. Vote centers will be open May 7th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Make your vote count. Visit vote.indy.gov for more information. This message was paid for by the Marion County Election Board.
All right, we're back for the second time during free agency week. Kevin's Corner commences. I am Kevin Bowen, Eddie Garrison. With me as always, recording this Thursday morning. Eddie, if we go back to the Tuesday pod, it turned out to be pretty timely, or I guess nothing too crazy happened, I should say, right after it. And then Kenny Moore inked a new deal later that day, but for the most part, it was relatively quiet. We'll see how this one stands the test of time. But we do have a lot to go over. Two outside the building moves and a handful of inside the building moves. That's what we will recap on today's podcast. How you doing, man?
I'm a little tired, man. Just like that game last night for the Pacers, just frustrating. And so, yeah, I'm here. Dogs last night were not cooperative. The cat was not cooperative. So, yeah, I'm running on like 3.5 hours of sleep.
That sounds less than ideal. Granted, you're preparing yourself for potentially fatherhood with humans one day.
Yeah.
In terms of the sleep on that end. Should we start with Flacco?
Yeah.
Let's start with the new backup quarterback for the Colts. You know, I think I've explained kind of my thoughts on backup QB. I care more mentally than physically. And I love Flacco signing in that sense. Eddie, not only does he have more than 180 games of experience and 16 games of playoff experience, think about his resume. He's been with arguably the most consistent franchise the league has seen over the last 10 or 15 years.
The Baltimore. Cleveland Browns?
Baltimore is right up there. And then on the flip side, the epitome of dysfunction with the New York Jets. And I just think that encyclopedia, seeing the great organizations, seeing the not great organizations, I think all of that is super, super beneficial to helping out Anthony Richardson. So I think that is important. You know, there was some overlap with Shane Steichen. Wasn't very long, but some Philadelphia overlap there in that 2021 season. And then if you do want to talk about Flacco as a player, there is actually one trait I think he brings that is very similar to Anthony Richardson, and Gardner Minshew did not bring it.
He's got a cannon.
He's got a cannon and a willingness to utilize it and an ability to still chuck it downfield. You know, I think Cleveland was such a big story in December and January last year. I think most of our audience will realize this, but Eddie, Cleveland won oftentimes late in the year because of Flacco, not in spite of him, or not because they had the best defense in the NFL, which obviously they did for long stretches. You look at Flacco's numbers last year, 4-1 as a starter. Eddie, those five games, 254 and two touchdowns, 311 and three touchdowns, 374 and two TDs, 368 and three touchdowns, 309 and three touchdowns. His yards per attempt number, which again is a very important metric to Shane Steichen and a lot of coaches around the league, 7.9 yards per attempt. For those unfamiliar, that is a huge number for a quarterback and really dwarfs that of Gardner Minshew. So,
the only knack, though, 8 interceptions.
He did have 8. Yes, he did have 8 INTs. And again, part of that is just he is a willing passer down the field, so you're going to have to live with some of that. But what I'm getting at is the dual threat nature to the playbook, no quarterback is probably going to satisfy that, or very few, I should say. But you aren't going to find many that can do both the big arm and the dual threat. Flacco obviously can't dual threat it, but he can test you vertically, and Minshew could not. And that really limited the Colts late last season. It did pop into my mind yesterday, Eddie. Who are you taking in a 40-yard dash? Peyton Manning, Matt Ryan, Phillip Rivers, Joe Flacco, or Kerry Collins?
I think it's Joe Flacco, not even close.
You don't think Kerry Collins has added a little burst in his post-playing career?
I don't think he's Tom Brady.
No? Minshew easily the fastest of all of them, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, we should point out, it hasn't all been gravy for Flacco since Baltimore. You know, if you look at the stops in Denver and New York, he was 3-14 as a starter. in the 4 years prior to Cleveland. So, you know, welcome to life as a backup. It's not all going to be perfect, but at the same time, he proved late last season in critical games that he could handle a lot on his plate, and that's important for your operation. And, you know, I've said this quite often about backup. Richardson's out for 3 weeks. Can the backup win 1 to 2 games? I mean, that's your realistic goal. That's your hope. And I think Flacco has proven that he can do that. So, again, I'm much more of a mental guy than physical, but to me this screams a lot of Matt Hasselbeck from a couple, well, I guess now just a decade ago with Andrew Luck. So I'm totally good with Flacco. I look at QB2 and think it's so much more about tutelage, encyclopedia, being the, you know, having the pupil, those sorts of things. And I think Flacco checks a whole lot of those boxes. Is he older than Shane Steichen?
I would assume so.
That's pretty crazy.
How old is
Flacco's Shane? 39. I thought Shane was like 4 years older than me. I'm 34. I could be wrong on that, but
I thought Shane was one of those guys born in 85, so same age.
Well, happy birthday to my brother today, and he's 40.
Shane's 38.
Happy birthday to Ryan Bowen. Hope Ryan has a great day, that he deserves. Hope he has a wonderful year on the golf course. So that's Flacco. Let's move on to Raekwon Davis. Eddie, I guess, do you have anything else to add on Flacco? Sorry to cut you off.
I had one thing. Is like the other day on Query & Company with Jake and Jimmy, noon until 3 on the Fan, we got into this debate about what kind of style do you want your backup quarterback to have if you're the Colts? Like, do you want one in Anthony Richardson that where you don't have to change the playbook? Or do you want to have one that's more of like a safe quarterback that's going to be in the pocket and allows you to do things more from a passing standpoint? I stood in that category because if Richardson is down for an extended period of time and you have another backup quarterback that's a similar play style and you're playing the same way, you're also risk him going down with a similar injury or an injury just in general.
Yeah,
by just putting him in those positions, and next thing you know, you're down to Sam Ehlinger. And if you're in a playoff hunt, I don't think you want that scenario potentially playing out.
Yeah, again, I'll go back to last year. You obviously had to eliminate so much of the dual threat stuff when Richardson went down. But Eddie, when Minshew went in there, you also had to limit how much you could do down the field. So you really constricted the playbook big time. With Flacco, you're going to constrict the dual threat stuff, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But you're not going to constrict the down the field stuff. Now, your O-line's going to have to hang in there and you know, certainly be a stable group for you. But there are some passing game similarities between the two. And so I do think that is worth mentioning on that end. Raekwon Davis, that was the first outside of the building free agent signing. 2 years, $14 million. When I saw the amount, Eddie, that really stood out to me.
Yeah, me too, because he's only got 2 career sacks.
Yeah, production is not there. I mean, when you look at the career of Raekwon Davis, think Grover Stewart, but just think like Space Eater and hardly any production. You know, he started 48 games. That's a good amount. He's got 5 tackles for loss, 2.5 sacks. So I almost think old school Space Eater is kind of how you view Raekwon Davis.
I mean, he's 6'7", 325. Yeah. That's a lot of space.
He becomes the biggest guy on your football team. You know, not many guys make DeForest Buckner look smaller, but he will. But I want to go back to that value. You know, $14 million across 2 years is a significant amount. And my thought process there is I think they really want to try and lessen some of the first 3-quarter workload for Stewart and Buckner. I thought way too often last season, Eddie, you got to the 4th quarter, and your D-line did not make enough individual plays. That group did not have the game-changing moments. I can think of the Buccaneers game when Epicom did that to Tristan Wirfs, but that's really it. And you got to keep those guys fresh in the 4th quarter. And, you know, if you look at Stewart and Buckner's snap counts, Eddie, they're very high for defensive tackles.
Mm-hmm.
Credit to them for being able to handle it, but I just think in the 4th quarter, they weren't as fresh. So, particularly Stewart, I think that is some of the thought process. Obviously, we've gone over this many times. We went over it on Tuesday's pod. Look at the six-game sample when Grover Stewart was, and I guess sample is probably not the right word to use for a guy busted for PEDs, but look at that time when he was not out there and you felt the loss. I think it's, all right, you're upgrading from Taven Bryan a bit. You're upgrading from Eric Johnson a bit with this. It will be a scheme change for Raekwon Davis. You know, he was hovering right about 50% of the snaps for Miami in a 3-4 scheme. So a little bit of that, but
second round pick out of Alabama.
Correct. Yeah, in that 2020 draft. You know, if you look at it, I think it is a little, and you know, part of this is you're paying him, I guess, to be depth. I would like to have seen more production out of him, considering mm-hmm. Christian Wilkins attracts a whole lot of attention for you, and that Miami D line has got some other guys. You would think he'd had a good amount of single team opportunities, and to only have the 5 tackles for loss and the 2.5 sacks, you don't love to see it. So again, part of this should probably be viewed as a credit to Grover Stewart, but Grover is, I think Shane Steichen had a quote yesterday in describing Grover. The Colts sent out a bunch of quotes with the announcements of those signings. Yeah, Shane goes, the disruptiveness that Grover causes on the field, especially in the run game, is rare and pivotal to the success of our defense. It is rare. I mean, you know, for defensive tackles, nose tackles, to have the production Grover does, that's not a given really at all. And if you look at his numbers, you know, we're talking 22 tackles for loss and 7 sacks if you look at the same time frame compared to Raekwon Davis, and both of them starters in their respective spots. So yeah, the move makes some sense. Again, I don't think you're obsessed with it by any means. And you know, if you look at the money invested in defensive tackle, you look at the money invested at the specialist spots, Eddie, I would say that's a lot compared to other teams in the league that cannot hinder you from other moves.
Yeah.
You know, Ballard can be a big believer in the trenches and big believer in the D-line, but that can't take away from you. Well, you know, if we had another extra couple million, I'd make a move for L'Jarius Sneed, or I'd make a move for Justin Simmons, or, you know, whoever, you know, you want to view as somebody that you should be pursuing. But I had to laugh, and I know we played the interview on the podcast, but I go back to Ballard's conversation with us at the Combine, and you know, I asked him about premium positions, and the first thing he mentioned was depth in the trenches. And clearly, this is a move that it just screams Chris Ballard, mm-hmm. frankly, this sort of move there. So in those 6 games without Stewart last year, it was an opportunity for the Eric Johnsons of the world to entrench themselves. They did not. And that's why I think you see the Colts having some urgency here with a move for Raekwon Davis.
With Raekwon Davis, you look at his college stats at Alabama, 4 years. I'm going in order from 16 to 19. 1 sack, 8.5, 1.5, and a half. So he's only really had 1 productive season at getting to the quarterback, even dating back to college, 8 years.
Yeah, and you know what, Eddie? It's fine if you're a space eater. I just want to make sure that, like, we explain to people
yeah.
that's what you're getting. You know, again, Grover Stewart, it's rare what he does.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of Raekwon Davises in the NFL. So, yeah, I just want to kind of explain to our audience, don't expect a whole lot, you know, in the backfield, living in there, making a bunch of plays. So, yeah, again, depth piece for your defensive line.
After Raekwon Davis, the Colts brought back one of their own, a very popular theme, Kenny Moe.
Kenny Moe is back. 3 years, $30 million, the highest paid nickel corner in the NFL. I thought ESPN had a wild stat about Kenny Moore after that signing. Since he entered the league in 2017, 13 interceptions for Kenny out of the slot. 5 more than anybody in the league.
Hmm.
It's a big number. Big difference from 1 to 2. You know, second to Zaire in snaps last year. Very important back rebound season is probably how I should describe it from the disappointment of 2022. And, you know, I get a little nervous, Eddie, when corners creep into that age 30 range, which Kenny is. But I do think Kenny will be extremely self-motivated. I think he wants to get back to being a Pro Bowler. So I think those are some things that you like. Yeah, I mean, hell, the man's on the side of Lucas Oil Stadium. I think he takes that to heart. And, you know, again, very individually motivated guy for you. So, you know, he was always a part of that green category we've talked about here in free agency of guys you should bring back. Who else? That was the question with Kenny. And same thing with Grover, really. It was an element of who else do you have to rely on. So that one made a lot of sense to me. Plus, Shane's quote, I'll just chime in here. Shane's quote, Kenny's preparation, work ethic, and communication are vital to the back end of our defense. We talked about this with Zaire Franklin on Tuesday's pod. Again, that quarterbacking, that communication, especially, we'll see what happens to Julian Blackmon. But that's critical, I think, to have Kenny there, who his actions offer a whole lot of explaining to the young DBs. But to quote Zaire Franklin to end the season, I don't know how it would work without Kenny. Well, you don't have to worry about that. So I thought important re-signing for the Colts. And, you know, we'll see if he plays out the full 3 years or how that goes. But it's a hell of a story out of Valdosta State for him. And I'll throw in Grover Stewart out of Albany State as well.
Plus, Kenny's on the side of Lucas Oil.
He is. Yep, late in the year. Shaq Leonard off. Kenny Moore on. We had a couple other in-house moves on Tuesday, if I recall correctly. Give me the, or just throw them at me in whatever order you would like.
Jannard Avery, we'll go with him first.
Yeah, I actually thought Avery had a decent camp last year before he suffered that season-ending knee injury. The resume is not eye-popping. It's 8.5 sacks since 2018. That's the career resume. But, like, there were a few moments in camp, Eddie, where I looked out there and I'm like, oh, that's a little bit of the bendy speed rusher that I feel like they could use. I look at it as camp body competing for a roster spot. I don't think, like, top-end guy. But, yeah, seeing him back, I think I had him in the yellow category as a possibility. So this one, you know, kind of makes sense for me as you're filling out a 90-man roster.
And then the versatility of Ronnie Harrison, linebacker and safety.
Yeah, man, that was a great story last year, was it not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, third round pick, you know, safety with the Colts in camp, gets cut. They bring him back and they say, hey, how about linebacker? And, you know, that's kind of how the league is turning. You know, if you watch teams right now, linebackers look like safeties and safeties look like corners.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the pass happy nature to the NFL, your defense has kind of got to match that. And I think you're seeing more of that in the league. I assume he'll be a depth guy at one of those spots, linebacker or safety. And right now, if you look at the roster, you have definite questions there about depth at both of those spots. You know, I go back to that Cincinnati game. You really needed a jolt and a spark. He gave that to you.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, that was the game you didn't have EJ Speed. Now, I thought there are also some moments in the game where you felt the loss of EJ Speed. I had kind of forgotten this, Eddie, until I dug into it a little bit more. He was the starting safety for Julian Blackmon late in the year, those final two games. Mm-hmm. So they made a switch to him back to safety when, you know, Rodney Thomas kind of got benched.
Yeah.
Nick Cross and Ronnie Harrison were your safeties. Now, you don't want to watch too much of that film of week 18, or I guess if you're Julian Blackmon's agent, you do want to watch it. But I'll be interested to see exactly where he lines up. You know, a ton of starts in his career. I think it's over 40. You know, when he made that pick against Cincinnati, I thought Shaq Leonard at first, just with the length and all of that. But, you know, both these moves, Harrison and Avery, I assume vet minimums, both of those make sense just in trying to provide some competition depth-wise.
Now, he started in that Carolina game, the first game after Shaq Leonard was released, right, and he had a pick?
I don't know if he officially start. I remember him starting the Cincinnati game when EJ Speed was out.
Yeah.
You know, he might have been like the base linebacker, so it all depends on like who was on the field first. Was it base defense on the field or was it nickel? You know, if it was nickel, then he wouldn't be on the field. If it was base, he would be on the field.
Did Zaire miss that Carolina game?
Because
he missed one. I can't remember which one it was.
Was it Seguna Lubi getting a nod there?
That's who I'm thinking of, and not Ronnie then.
Yeah.
Because Seguna Lubi got the pick.
Yeah, I'm looking at Zaire's season right now. 16 games for him. Yes, Carolina was the one that he did not play in. but for Ronnie Harrison Jr. His three starts last season were the two starts at safety, the final 2 weeks of the season, and then Cincinnati.
Okay.
So it was not Carolina. That would have been Alubi, I assume.
They all run together at this point.
Game. So, yes, Harrison and Avery back. Who are the other in-house guys that we haven't talked about yet?
Last one is Rigoberto Sanchez.
Rigoberto. Career high net punting average. No touchbacks in 68 punts. It's kind of crazy to think organizationally they've had two punters really in the last 15 years. You go back to McAfee.
That's wild.
You know, you had the Matt Hawk for a year, but obviously that was because Rigo tore his Achilles there. I didn't think the value of this was too high.
Mm-mm.
You know, I thought for a second, I'm like, wait, if you re-sign him, that's top five punter money. That's, you know, you're paying the, you know, the kicker is the second highest paid kicker. Your long snapper's the highest paid long snapper. All of a sudden, is your punter going to be top five? You know, but 3 years, $7.5 million wasn't huge for a punter there. So another guy, you know, when you look at a lot of this, Eddie, whether it's Zaire Franklin, whether it's Grover, whether it's Kenny, you know, it's a lot of these three contract guys right around 2017 and 2018 there. So Sanchez has always done a nice job holding. I think if you can stabilize the Gunners around him, the return of Ashton Doolin should help. I think you could even get a little bit of a better season 2 years removed from the torn Achilles.
Do you have your glasses on hand?
I do have my glasses.
Can you put them on real quick?
Yeah.
Okay. I found your doppelganger.
Oh, boy.
John Green? Ever been told that?
Someone has said John Krasinski before.
With your hair the way it is, and you start to have a 5 o'clock shadow, you look like John Green.
I could see that a little bit. The hair is kind of wild on this Thursday morning, isn't it?
Yeah, I can tell you don't have to teach today.
No, that is that's very accurate there. I was wondering where you were going with that one. You know, you don't. Not a very visual medium here on the old podcast. Before we get to Twitter questions, Eddie, things on the to-do list. Secondary needs attention. Obviously, Blackman, what you do there. But, you know, corner and safety, as we record this on Thursday morning, we're still kind of waiting for a lot of dominoes there. There hasn't been a ton of activity league-wide. I've said to you before, I want to see three defensive back moves this offseason. And I really point towards the free agency for that. Well, we've seen one, and that's the re-sign of Kenny Moore. I still think you need two, probably one at safety, one at corner. We'll see about backup running back. You know, A.J. Dillon's name was thrown around there. I don't believe they gave a tender to Trey Sermon. He was a restricted free agent. It's just a little thing on there. So, you know, how they handle that role behind Taylor. Again, I'm not a big invest majorly in it, but still just kind of curious what they do. And then do we see Danny Penter fall into, like, the Jack Muhort prove-it deal? Just the 1 year. Prove a deal. You kind of reward a guy that's been a good pro for you, who suffered a season-ending injury. You know, do you get the one-year deal out of him? He was the only other guy I had in the yellow category. If you go back to the ranking of the free agent podcast we did, all the green guys are back, six of them in total. Julian Blackman was the only one that's yet to be a decision there.
Humble brag.
The yellow guys, Gardner Minshew, Zach Moss, gone. Jannard Avery back. Penter was the only one that hasn't been. So, and again, just because I say should bring back, go back to the question I tossed Chris Bowers way 2 months ago at the season-ending presser.
Mm-hmm.
If you bring them all back in-house, you don't got a lot of money left.
Right.
So if they are to, I mean, right now as we record this, I probably should have double-checked it. What are we thinking? 20-ish million with the Flacco deal?
Yeah, I'll look real quick.
20-ish would be my guess. You always probably want to keep 10 for the rookie draft pick pool and just in-season stuff. So does that leave about 10 for you left? Now, again, you could restructure a Buckner. You could restructure a Nelson. You could, hell, you could cut Mo Alie-Cox. I'm not holding my breath necessarily for that. But you could make some money appear. But maybe it's a little bit more than 20.
According to Over the Cap, they have just under $32 million in cap space.
Does that include Flacco?
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, a lot of this is the structures of the deals, too. You know, we don't have all of that stuff. But, you know, 20-ish million is kind of my guess, maybe a little bit north of that. But, yeah, we'll see how that plays out as free agency reaches day four now.
I'm trying to see if they have it updated with Flacco on here real quick.
I feel like it's usually like a 36, 48-hour period where they update that stuff.
It has not been updated with Flacco on there, so.
So that'll shrink it a little bit there.
Yeah.
4.5.
Do you think their NFL is waiting on like the Legarius Sneed domino to fall, and that's why it's been slow on the cornerback market?
That's probably accurate. Yeah. Yeah. I would say that is accurate. Yeah, you know, other positions have seen a good amount of activity. And we've gotten kind of a clear market at some other spots. We just have not got that yet at corner or safety, really, which falls in line with, you know, the biggest Colts need, I would say, right now.
Yeah, Xavier McKinney's really the only notable name, and right. Jeremy Chinn are the only two notable names out of the safeties free agent class that have signed.
Mm-hmm.
Von Bell just went back to Cincinnati.
Right, so you know, Justin Simmons, Quandre Diggs, you know, there are several safeties out there with some decent resumes, so that is something to watch as we move forward.
Zaire Franklin doing some recruiting on social media, too.
I saw that. A little Sneed and Diggs mention, and then Quandre Diggs gave him the retweet, right?
And Sneed gave him the like.
By the way, you listen to Zaire Franklin talk, he just gets it.
Mm-hmm.
Just flat out. Like, you get to, I can see why he was a three-year captain at Syracuse. I just nod my head so often.
And you can see he's one of their leaders.
Without question. One thing I do want to note before we get to Twitter questions, we did have a chance to chat with about a handful. I know you guys talk with Pittman as well on your show. You know, he made it pretty clear, like, they weren't going to let me hit the open market. Like, I fully expected the franchise tag. He did say the three-year deal he likes because, to use his words, he called it an accelerating wide receiver market. I thought that was a good word to use. Makes sense why he'd want to hit free agency again here at age 29. So that was something that stood out. And again, Ballard and Steichen just heaping praise about the attitude that he brings, the work ethic, the passion, the energy. There's a consistency to him that should rub off on your quarterback. And I think that's important to have when you've got a young guy in there as well. Grover said he always felt like strong feeling he'd be back. Kenny acted like it was about a 50-50 on if he would return or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that a bit interesting. And then again, the Zaire Franklin comments, you just nod at it. You just nod at the, it's time to win a division. It's time to, we've got good memories here. It's time to make memories that have a banner inside of Lucas Oil Stadium and not just the wild card banner of 2018. Could not agree more with Zaire Franklin on that.
You ready for Twitter questions?
I am.
Only three to get to on today's pod. Always remember, you can tweet it at us, send it in via DM, comment on YouTube. Will is up first. Curious to hear your thoughts. What, not even 48 hours into free agency, and it looks like the Colts have taken care of their own. Do you see the team winning 3+ more games just by adding Anthony Richardson and having a good draft? Or do they absolutely need to make a move in free agency? Already spent a lot of money on bringing back guys, hoping they can get creative where they can get a guy they previously didn't wear blue and white.
It's a great question. I've thought about this, and again, we'll see how free agency continues to play out, Eddie, but let's say the Colts don't make anything too substantial. You know, you're banking on a lot of kind of the in-house improvement. So what does that look like? Obviously, Richardson, you would think you'd be more explosive offensively. That can help you out. I would assume a healthier Braden Smith would be among that. You obviously are hoping a tight end emerges. Chris Ballard probably thinks Quiddy Pay's got a little bit more to offer. Cornerback group showing some development as well. So, again, I'm trying to put my Colts hat on. I'm trying to, like, picture that. I also sit here and put my own hat on and think, well, damn, your schedule's tougher. The quarterbacks on your schedule are tougher.
Oh, yeah.
10 of the 17 rookies or backup guys. And then, you know, there's an element of, you know, well, Braden Smith's going to be healthier. Richardson's going to be healthier. Well, other guys are going to get hurt. I mean, you can't turn off injuries in the video game when it comes to an NFL season. So I'd like to see him get a little bit more creative with cap space and utilize it in that manner. But we'll see how the rest of the week plays out.
Drew's Twitter question is, do you see linebacker as a potential low to mid priority in free agency or the draft? Zaire Franklin is the only guy that the Colts have, and EJ Speed is getting better and shows us a suitable starter. The strong side linebacker position could improve, and there are some decent names in the free agency pool. Not sure how the quality of linebacker is in the draft, though.
I don't need a linebacker in free agency, no. I think Ballard has proven to have an unbelievable track record drafting that position. Yeah. Day three pick on it. And you know, I guess what? You're one play away from Alubi or Ronnie Harrison Jr., to go back there. And, you know, when you go base, one of those guys would be out there. You know, Speed and Zaire don't have a ton of quality depth behind them, but both those guys have been proven to be pretty durable throughout their careers. And, yeah, again, you can't invest the magical blue chip resource into everything. Totally fine with a late day three linebacker.
Plus, you have the flowing locks of Grant Stewart.
Ah, flying down there on special teams. No one crazier on the football team than that man. No one.
If you have the long hair like that, you are definitely the most psychotic player on the football field.
You have to. It's a prerequisite. If you have hair like that, you have to play special teams.
Yeah.
You have to.
Or you're, who was it? The old Cincinnati guy. The Bengals had a guy that had long hair like that.
Picturing Jamie Silva for the Colts, if you remember that.
Yeah. Final Twitter question comes from Wake Spike. Hey, KB and Eddie. Ballard has had a very poor luck drafting edge rushers. There are some very good ones out in free agency right now. Rather than throw another first or second round pick at this problem, can or should the Colts try throwing money instead at the position? Well, according to Stephen Holder, they were in talks with Danielle Hunter, and then he signs with the Houston Texans.
So the Texans got Hunter and Autry.
Yes.
And lost Jonathan Gennard.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good D-line there.
Added Joe Mixon as well.
Mm-hmm.
Brought back Dalton Schultz. Very good offseason for the Texans.
Yeah. We'll get more into the AFC South, you know, moves here coming up on some future pods. Like, just because you've missed at young edge rushers in the draft doesn't mean you stop swinging. I mean, hell, you want to be glass half full about it? You're due. You're due to hit on one of them. Banigou, Ture, Pay, you're due to hit in a big, big way on one of them. Yeah, I mean, this gets back to quarterback. I mean, again, you can't sit there with the bat on your shoulders. You've got to continue to swing. And yeah, sure, free agency might offer a little bit more of a stabilizing, proven veteran guy. Danielle Hunter, to Eddie's point, would have been that. But now I'm a firm believer that you got to continue to swing in the draft at that. Because if you are able to hit, that does wonders to your building blueprint. Absolute wonders. You can make the argument it's the most important defensive piece for you.
Yeah.
In no way, shape, or form will I say stop swinging there or, you know, just go into free agency and get that. First off, finding those guys in free agency. I mean, how old is Danielle Hunter?
He is 29.
Right. So, I mean, you can't totally ignore that.
Turning 30.
You know, and I know he just had a great year, but, you know, there's going to be a point where obviously Houston, and, you know, Houston's got Will Anderson Jr., so they're pretty set at that spot moving forward. But
2-year deal for him.
The Colts have got to find their young rusher, their young edge guy.
I know you said we would touch on the AFC South probably next week, but just kind of some brief thoughts on Tennessee adding Calvin Ridley.
I think the Colts have the worst wide receiver room in the AFC South. Nico Collins, Tank Dell.
Noah Brown.
Yeah. Hopkins, I know he's older. Ridley. Jacksonville still got Kirk, Gabe Davis, Zay Jones. Yeah.
And Evan Engram.
Well, yeah, when you throw tight ends in there as well, Dalton Schultz, like you brought up, Tennessee. Okwonkwo is a guy that, you know, has had some moments, but still they don't have a great tight end. But yeah, and again, those are weapons for your young quarterback that you talk about. So I fully expect the Colts to draft a wideout. I'd be very surprised, Eddie, if we got to Saturday of the draft and the Colts hadn't taken one, taken a wideout. So the Colts will obviously try to bolster it through the draft, and, you know, we'll see how that unfolds. But Yeah, we'll get into a lot more of that coming up next week. Probably looking at midweek next week, if that works.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see how things, you know, if there is that big secondary move out there for the Colts or not. But probably looking at a Wednesday pod. We'll get more into the weekly routine as we start to slowly shift gears from free agency towards the draft. Eddie Garrison, anything else on your end?
Yeah, just one quick question here. Yesterday, I can't remember who had it. I think it was Jeremy Fowler, maybe. A.J. Dillon, one of the final three teams, I think, on his list, or three. One of the three teams that he heard most from was the Indianapolis Colts. Does that kind of fit the backup running back that you were looking at?
Again, I'm not like a huge investment into the backup running back sort of thing. I'd be fine with Dillon. You know, the thought is what? Do you want more of the change of pace jitterbug, or do you want more of the Moss? You know, more of kind of a traditional first and second down guy. Dillon is probably more of that. I mean, I know the yards per carry was very ugly for him last year in Green Bay. I probably think it's more of a concern for me to find the change of pace, the guy that's more of the fastball versus the change up, even if that guy might not be playing. You know, if Taylor were to get hurt, that guy wouldn't be a first and second down guy. So, yeah, I'd be fine with Dillon, but again, I'm not. I don't lose sleep over who the backup running back is. And I know there's no way saying that and being like, Kevin, did you see what Zach Moss did for this football team? Yeah, it was really, really important. But I think that position is proven in the league. You can find dudes packing groceries one week and they can tote it the next.
Still have Goody.
Not a lot of positions to do that. Still have Tyler Goodson. Still have Evan Hall. Again, the Trey Sermon thing was a little interesting. So we'll see how that one plays out. He is Eddie Garrison. I'm Kevin Bowen. Everybody enjoy the close to week one of free agency. We'll talk to you next week.